Good morning, everyone. This morning we are going to look at another psalm of thanksgiving, though this psalm is from the book of Jonah. There are different genres, obviously, throughout the entirety of Scripture. I mean, there are different genres of psalms, of Hebrew poetry, written for many different occasions. And there is one style called a psalm of thanksgiving, which is just what it sounds like. But it follows a repeatable pattern, really. There's description of the distress that the individual or nation is in. There's a highlighting of God's rescue for them. There's a vow of praise in response to being rescued. And then there is just a final appeal to God and to God's goodness. And this is, we see this throughout the book of Psalms and the various psalms that are psalms of thanksgiving. And that very same format is followed by Jonah in Jonah chapter 2. And so as we are in the Thanksgiving season here, I wanted us to take a look at this. This is one of my favorite psalms of thanksgiving. Changes the order a little bit from the traditional. I think that's obviously because it's by the Holy Spirit. That's with purpose. But follow along as I read from Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the... Take a minute to find Jonah. It's a minor prophet and they can be difficult to find. Totally understand. You know what? Just so we're not... Everyone, let's all turn to the table of contents. Let's all do that, right? It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. I understand. Page 920? Yeah. But that's your own Bible you brought from home. How does that help us, Peter? And it's in German. I don't know why. That's random. So the 12 minor prophets are difficult to find. If you would like... help ongoing learning those. You can probably ask Louise, she can teach you a song. that will help you to remember. They're wonderful, wonderful little songs that will stick with you for your life. I did not grow up in Sunday school, so I never learned the song. So table of contents, we got it? Excellent? You know where Peter is? 9-something? Excellent, very good. All right, and then Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is God's word. As I said, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And Jonah begins, and it starts in verse 1 with kind of an introduction to this whole passage, that Jonah's praying. Now, I love this verse. I love what's going on here. Because it's very specific. says Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Where do you pray? You have like a prayer chair, a chair you like to pray in, or we've talked metaphorically about our prayer closets, you know. Maybe you have a nice quiet space you like to pray, or you like to pray while you walk, while you drive, just kind of close your eyes and cruise down there, you know. I'm told that's not advised, but here we see Jonah is praying from the fish. And let's just remember what's going on here. God called Jonah to go and preach to his enemies, to call them to repentance, to call them to turn back, to, or not back, but turn to the Lord. And Jonah's like, no thanks. I don't want to do that. I'm good, thanks. Because I know you, God. This is the whole thing, right? He says, I know what you're going to do, God. You're going to lead them to repentance. And I kind of hate them. And they're really bad. And they're not like me. And they're not even Jewish. So how dare you do this? So Jonah tried to run away. And God caused a big fish to come and swallow him after he jumped off the boat. And it's from the belly of the fish, it says, that Jonah prays. And what I find so interesting about this, despite the fact that there probably were a lot of distractions, it's probably not a very peaceful situation to be praying in, right? But we have here that Jonah is praying, and it's thanksgiving. He's giving thanks to God for rescuing him. But guess what? He hasn't been rescued yet. He's praying before the rescue comes. I find that so powerful. I really struggle with that. Difficult situations tend to really overwhelm me. And I have a hard time seeing ahead or having my faith really trust in the Lord beyond my situation. Trusting that God is at work even in the times that feel so awful. Times when I don't understand what's going on. Whether it's from circumstances outside of my control or from my sinful choices. And here we have Jonah. It's his fault. It's his fault he's in the situations he's in. It's his sin. And yet he trusts in the Lord to rescue him. I wonder if, I don't know, maybe Jonah had amazing foresight. It's not said in the text, but an amazing way said, you know what? I sinned against God, and he could have just killed me. He could have just judged me and taken me out, but he caused this horrible situation to happen. Maybe he's trying to get my attention. There's a mercy in what God's doing here that I think we have to recognize, too. It doesn't sound very merciful. It's not like how I would choose to be merciful, to get swallowed by a big fish, right? Sounds pretty awful. Jonah very much so thinks he's going to die, feels like, looks like he's going to die here. But there is somehow, in all these acts, this is God helping Jonah. God leading Jonah into what is best for Jonah, which is following God and his call. We have the introduction to the psalm in verse 2 here. It says what we've just been talking about, a call out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. He heard my voice. I love this. This is all speaking as if it's already happened, but he hasn't been rescued yet. Again, as I just said. And in this introduction, we see and are reminded of a very important reality of who God is. He hears us. He hears us, always. Even when we don't see the results that we want, we don't get the answers that we understand in the moment or in the timing that we're going through, we can take absolute faith, confidence in who God is, and he is the God who hears when we cry out to him. Jonah goes on to describe his distress. the trouble that he's in verses 3 through the beginning of verse 6. He describes what happened to him, that you, O God, cast me into the sea. He was in serious trouble. He was literally dying here. We do see that in the midst of all this, that Jonah still has faith. He still trusts in God. Verse 4, then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. He's trusting God to rescue him. Even when all data that he could have right now looks like he's going to die. I think there's a little bit of a both and here when he says, yet I shall look upon your holy temple. I think there is a hope and an expectation and a prayer here that it would be a physical, literally come back to Jerusalem and look at the physical, in other words, that his life would be spared. But there's also an eternal perspective here that I think Jonah has, that even if I die, I will see the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Jonah goes on then in the end of verse 6 to describe his rescue. In the middle of his life slipping away, in the middle of the impact that he had because he disobeyed God, it looked like that Jonah would receive justice for his actions. But abruptly, God saves Jonah. It's through a miracle. God completely changes the circumstances. God saves him. The language here is the description of a resurrection at the end of verse 6. You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. There's a picture there of being resurrected from the dead. It's the same as if he was basically dead, as good as dead. And God, through his miracle work, through his power, raised up Jonah from the dead. This is part of the sign of Jonah that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 39. When he says, to this generation, Jesus says, to this generation I will give you the sign of Jonah, he describes it. And says, just as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the ground for 3 days and then will be lifted up. Jesus was lifted up from the pit. The same image here that Jonah is using for his life, which is why Jesus points back to him and says, this is what's going to happen to me. So there's a symbolic nature to what's going on here in Jonah. It points us to Jesus, to the salvation that God brings through Jesus to each one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, resurrection. Then in verse 7, Jonah makes an appeal. God's saving of Jonah had nothing to do with Jonah. It was all God's initiative. This was all part of God's plan. What I love here is that God doesn't save Jonah because he prays. This is not some payment. This is not some way in which you force God's hand. If I just pray enough, or if I pray in the right way, or if enough people pray, if I go to church enough, if I spend enough time, reading the Bible, then God will answer my prayers. No. This is what we call grace. This is God's free gift. This is the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ dies on the cross for our sins. And his work of salvation, of paying for sins, is for all of us who just believe in him. Sometimes it's hard to believe that that's how we're saved. It just sounds so simple. for us. It's like, surely there must be more involved in that. Surely I must be going through this terrible suffering and then pray the way Jonah did, and that's why God moves here. That's why Jesus saves us. No. It's because he loves you. God loved Jonah. I know it seems like, wow, boy, if this is the way you treat people, you love God. Oof, I don't know. But it was an act of love. God sees the big picture of Jonah's life. And he's never outside of God's loving hand and caring hand to protect him. God is the one who saves Jonah. He prays to God, and God hears his prayer. But this was all part of God's plan to draw Jonah back to himself. I love in verse 7 here. It says, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. So often in the scriptures, the idea of thanksgiving and remembering go together. That we remember something, either that God has done in our life, in the life of people around us, the lives of people around us, in the lives of people in the scriptures. We remember and it leads us to give thanks to God for what he's done. Or we remember who God is, something about the nature, the character, the name of God. And it leads us to be thankful, remembering. This is why it's so important for us to read the scriptures regularly. I know so many of these passages are familiar to us. I know we've heard them, and it feels like, okay, yeah, I know what that one says, and that's wonderful. But part of remembering is part of giving thanks is remembering, which means bringing to the front of our mind, in the present, what God has said, who he is, what he has done. We do that through reading the scriptures. We do that through praying to God through the scriptures. We do that by being with one another and sharing with one another who God is and what God has done. This is how we remember God, which leads us to give thanks to God. Jonah then closes with his vow of praise in verses 8 and 9. He calls out what happens when you don't repent, and then he looks at his own, God's own saving of him, and offers what he then does. First, in verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Now, there definitely are passages in the scripture that talk about God's judgment when we reject him, when we turn against him. This verse is so lovely. It starts out talking about those who reject God, those who worship idols, right? Those who pay regard to vain idols. And I don't know if you're like me, kind of expecting the second half of the sentence say something awful is going to happen to them, there's going to be judgment, okay? That's not what Jonah is praying here. That's not the words in his mind. He says, what happens to those who give their regard, give their heart to vain idols? They forsake their hope steadfast love. That's what God offers to us that no other idol, no other thing we worship can give us. We are built to worship. God has created us, all people, all humanity, to worship. And if we do not worship the Lord, we'll worship something else. We don't call it worship typically, but there'll be something else that captures our heart. And God says through Jonah here in his prayer that whatever it is that captures our heart that's not God, we are forfeiting steadfast love. That's who God is. Through the circumstances that are horrible in our lives, in the midst of them, in the light of eternity, knowing Christ, loving God, following God, worshiping God, that we experience the steadfast love of the Lord that never, ever ceases. Then we hear Jonah's response to God's saving. But with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Remembering God and thanking God. Why are these important? Why? You said, you know, I said that remembering often leads us to thanksgiving. Why is that important? Because that leads us to praising God. That's what Jonah is doing here. He's saying, I've made a vow to God. In light of remembering who God is and anticipating his salvation, even before it comes about, I have vowed to, in this case, this is the context of worship God, to worship him. Jonah makes a vow to praise God. And he's doing that right from the belly of the fish. The end of verse 9, the conclusion of Jonah's prayer, is really the summary of the whole prayer, the summary of the whole passage here, the point of this whole passage. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And he's not just talking about Jonah and his own life here, though he is talking about that, but he's anticipating the work at Nineveh when he's going to go call them to repent to be saved. These people who rejected God, who hated God, and Jonah is foreseeing that God is going to bring about salvation to people that it looks like to us don't deserve, quote unquote, it. Oh, may we never forget that we do not deserve salvation. It is because of God's merciful, steadfast love that we trust in Jesus. Verse 10 closes the passage by talking about what God does. I love the description too. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. Woohoo! It's just a really graphic picture there, right? Be great to have heard that conversation. God and the fish talking. Hey, fish. I know we say whale, but you know, there's all... It's all these, it doesn't say whale in Jonah anywhere. It just says a big fish. There's all kinds of discussion about that, which is fun. But spoke to the fish, and he said, okay, time for Jonah to get to work. This is my hand saving him. God completes his action. God, we see in this life, in this case, God's salvation at work. And we see Jonah even before he is saved, giving thanks to God, giving praise to God, recognizing his own circumstances and the dire need that he was in, calling out to a God who hears, and God answers. What circumstances are we in? Some of us are in really challenging situations. There are things in life that are just beyond our control. Sometimes they're not because of anything we did. Sometimes things have happened to us that are not our fault, maybe nobody's fault, and yet they're dire. Sometimes we're in situations because we've done things wrong. We've sinned, and we have no one to blame but ourselves. In either case, in both cases, It is God who gives salvation, the God who hears. Who hears us right now, who hears us in our trouble, who hears us in whatever it is that we're going through. The God who looks and knows each and every person in their deepest heart of hearts, in their deepest thoughts. And God listens. So whatever the circumstances we are in right now, before the rescue comes, let us give thanks to the Lord, for salvation comes from him. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks that your ear is always inclined towards us, O God. We thank you that you hear and you answer our prayer because of your great love for us in Christ Jesus, O Lord. I pray for all of the difficult, painful situations that go on in our lives, whether we're in the midst of one of those seasons now or it will be in the future sometime, that you would, O God, would by the work of your Holy Spirit, turn our hearts and our minds to remember you. Proactively give thanks to you and worship you as we watch and wait for your salvation to come, O God. And Lord, I pray for all those who do not know you. Whether we're gathered here this morning, those in our family, those in our community, O Lord God. Pray, Lord, that they too would cry out to you in their need. And they would know that you are the God who hears, and they would come to know you in Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.